Jerry Doyle Show.
My total and thorough disgust with the gatekeepers of the status quo in Washington, D.C. has led me on many times on this program to say that here in Las Vegas, on any weekend night, 2 in the morning, I could go to a casino and get 535 people that are completely hammered, put them in a room, and by morning, with the right Bloody Marys and combination of coffee and breakfast items, I could probably have better decisions made for this country than the ones that are being made by our current crop of esteemed lunatics on Capitol Hill. Now, we're looking for answers. We're looking for solutions. And in our disgust with the status quo, sometimes we're attracted to bright, shiny, new objects, which is a great piece written courtesy of our guest, Anita Findlay, author, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor, EpicTimes.com, where you can get her latest, her exclusive there, The Dangerous Allure of the Shiny New Toy. Anita Findlay, the author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 16 weeks, that's 4 months for those of you who don't have a calculator, in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jerry. How are you?
I'm good. Can I include you in that 535 hammered people in Las Vegas at 2 in the morning? I know you'd come up with better decisions on what we need to do in Washington, D.C.
Yes, I would. Just don't make me drink a Bloody Mary and I'll be just fine.
You can only drink one of those. There's something about like Bloody Marys and margaritas. They get to kind of like that zingy kind of like, you know, one's good, two, three, jump the shark. It's just, something you have to switch it up.
I wouldn't know what three looked like, Jerry. I never get that far.
Come on. When you were on your cruise to the Mediterranean, you didn't have, you know, it's funny too, because in the morning, if you have a mimosa, you're social. If you have 3 fingers of scotch, you're an alcoholic. Right? But you're still drinking, right? And on a cruise ship, you know, very social, very, you know, very good. Never had three?
No, you know, I had 1 6-month period when I was 26 years old that I was into margaritas.
Let's talk about that.
Drink a few. But that was about 6 months. That was it. Isn't that pathetic?
Now I drink
a little wine and I'm done. Goodbye. That's it. The end.
That's it. I bet they always, a good wine, it's tough to beat, though, right? I mean, if you savor it, it's not like you're just going for the Boone's Farm or the Ripple or the Mad Dog 2020. But a good wine savored with a good meal, which you get on a cruise ship, as you know, is quite the experience.
I think you need to get yourself on a cruise, Jerry, because you keep bringing that word up into every conversation you and I have.
I know. I keep getting these brochures from Oceana. And they keep saying, hey, Jerry, it's time for this. Hey, Jerry, it's time for this. It's time for that. And I go, yeah, it's time for it. But as long as we have people in Washington, D.C. doing what they're doing, you're hard-pressed to find a time where you can turn your back on these knuckleheads and just let them run wild and not have an opportunity to talk about it, debate it, or throw it under the bus on the radio every day. I mean, it really is.
Well, they are, you know, look, there are a lot of knuckleheads, no doubt. But what I find interesting about this is that, you know, Harvard studies and so on have come out saying that women make better legislators because they're willing to compromise, they're willing to meet at the table, and it's not so much ego being thrown around. And that was even exhibited when we were dealing with the shutdown last fall. It was women who were really the ones coming to come up with a broker, a deal to get everybody back to the table. And I wonder, you know, there's just too much in terms of people pursuing power for its own sake. And, you know, in terms of what I wrote, we really do have to think about when we're looking at leadership, you know, where do we look and what is the message that we wish to hear from people that's going to convince us that they're offering us something other than more of the same? And go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. One of the women folk that you talk about in your piece, The Dangerous Allure of the Shiny New Toy, is the shiny new toy, Elizabeth Warren. She's got a book out called A Fighting Chance. She's out a lot of places promoting her book. And it seems as if people are less concerned about what's in her book, less concerned about what her past is and her political present and future is. They ultimately want to ask the question, you going to run for president? Now, I know in my business and a lot of the hacks on cable TV, it's about getting the breaking news or the exclusive. She said on my program that she's announcing her run for the presidency, and then that helps them in their egos. But it seems as if everybody is asking that question of everybody and anybody, Are you going to run for president? Tell me you're going to run for president. Please run for president, which is a part of what you talk about in the dangerous allure of the new shiny of the shiny new toy. Voter disappointment with current leadership and media's boredom with experienced politicians waiting in the wings prompts us to turn over a new rock and give untested candidates a chance. But I would have to say that the voter resentment of the status quo is causing people to be flailing around in that political sea looking for that life raft, which you aptly describe as a shiny new toy.
Well, you know, I'm so glad we're discussing this. Actually, our discussion last week led me to write this piece in the first place, because I want to take issue with the term status quo. I think that we need to look at that a little more carefully, because there is a big difference between the shiny new toy and the status quo versus an experienced politician who has not yet had the opportunity to lead but has amassed a record of accomplishment or may understand who the players are, where the bodies are buried, how to negotiate something, how to work across the aisle. You know, we do need a certain degree of experience of that kind. And General Wesley Clark, who is, you know, one of our most highly decorated veterans, had once said, you know, he teaches foreign policy at the Buerkle Center and so on in Los Angeles. And he had talked about one of the biggest stumbling blocks of new presidents is foreign policy. And, you know, look what's happened now with President Obama. It's just that we're so busy being divisive and going, let the pendulum swing this way, let the pendulum swing that way. And we are prone to be attracted to rhetoric without asking the deeper question, does this person have the intestinal fortitude? Have they shown by virtue of any sort of accomplishment, whether it's as a chief executive of a state, of an organization, legislative accomplishment, have they shown some stick-to-itiveness or whatever you want to call it that is going to prove that not only do they mean what they say, but they actually have a way of pushing that forward. So I would argue that just because somebody has been around for a long time, that's not necessarily going to make it the status quo. So I think, you know, we do have to be careful about that. I mean, and in terms of the shiny new toy, there are a number of them. I mean, Senator Marco Rubio of Florida is another shiny new toy that people are discussing for 2016. And unfortunately, you know, and I say this respectfully, he fell on his face, you know, in terms of immigration reform, because he put out something and wound up getting booed at a rally in Washington, D.C. that felt like a flip-flop and betraying of conservative principles and so on. So this was a rookie mistake. You could chalk it up to a rookie mistake. Let's call it that for lack of a better phrase. Somebody who'd been around for a long time may not have done something like that. So, you know, I think we do need to be very careful in this country. The media is trying to sell you a bill of goods. We know this. And the corporate-owned media would rather, I believe, have a neophyte who is in there who doesn't know, who doesn't have a good, forgive me, BS detector when some foreign leader or when some muckety-muck in the Joint Chiefs or whoever is coming into their office and saying, oh, Mr. President, we got to do this. Well, maybe we don't have to do this. But if you don't have an understanding of geopolitics, if you do not have an understanding of history and the economy, and you haven't been around with your hands in the dirt working it yourself, you don't know how. You don't know how to navigate. So the new ideas are great, but we got to be very careful about, you know, the shiny new toy aspect of it.
Well, even the dull old toys like John Kerry can be dangerous, too. I mean, you know, when he first became Secretary of State, he said, look, I'm going to wrap up this Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We can have this knocked out in 6 months. And those were his words about how he felt that he could just go in there and he could make things happen. And then it starts to unravel. And then he comes out with his stupid apartheid comments, and now he's backtracking on those. So even people that you would think that have been there and have felt the furniture for a while and have come to know maybe the deeper implications of what the geopolitical workings of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is would be a little bit more scholarly, a little bit more sensitive, a little bit more careful in choosing the words to describe what it is that he might have been meaning to say. So that even the old dogs sometimes tend not to be the ones that we can depend on to get things done.
Oh, that is absolutely true, Jerry. But you'll notice that after, you know, he's following Secretary Clinton as Secretary of State. He wanted that job in the first place. And the papers were just drooling over the fact that they had a boy in the old boys club back. And, oh, he's going to show her up and he's going to this, he's going to that. He's not showing her up at all. And it just proves the point that, you know, if you've been around for a long time, no, that is, your point is exactly right. That's not necessarily a prescription for safety in that regard. But it does point to the fact that at least you have a record that you can point to that somebody has done. What have they fought for? What do they believe in? What cause have they been championing? How can you watch them follow a project through from year A to year six and see, you know, how is that going? And then you have something to go on. And in choosing, well, do they have a leadership ability? Do they know what they're doing? You know,
right.
And if you say Kerry has fallen on his face, they're great. Well, guess what? You know, he ran for president and lost, and he's never going to be our president. So, you know,
thank God.
Well,
thank
I'll agree
God.
With that one. I'm not a fan but, of his. So.
No, he's just Jughead John Kerry. I mean, I think the guy's in way over his head. But, you know, you take a look at the old adage of 20 years of experience versus 1 year of experience 20 times. So just because you've been there 20 years doesn't necessarily mean you have 20 years of experience. You could still be making the same rookie mistake that you made in the first year, in the 19th and the 20th year. One of the people that you have in your piece, The Dangerous Allure of the Shiny New Toy, you say Chris Christie can be said to fall into this category, the antithesis of Jeb Bush, part of a dynasty we might want to leave behind. Now, Chris Christie, to me, is a guy that has been, I think, less sensitive to party politics, working with President Obama in the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy, getting grief from the Republicans, of which he's a member of that party, for doing that, for delivering to the people of New Jersey. And he's worked with a Democrat legislature in a state that has shrunk the overall size of government, the real size of government, by 9%. When his predecessor, the Democrat John Corzine, former state senator, former U.S. senator, raised taxes and fees 114 times. So Chris Christie may be a bright, shiny new toy on the national stage, but in the state of New Jersey, even my liberal Democrat mom goes, you know, I think he's a bit of a bully, but he's getting some things done. And for her to come around at 86 years old to say that, you know, Chris Christie's got something to bring to the table, I think is a pretty strong endorsement of his ability to work both sides of the political aisle and to actually get something done for the state of New Jersey.
Well, that is exactly what is going to be needed, whether you have a Democrat or Republican. Two things. One, you can't be elected president just being president of the people who voted for you. You're president of everybody. And there needs to be a certain degree of compassion for the people who do not agree with you, and we can't play favorites here. You know, at this point, from what I read, the economy in New Jersey is, you know, economically, they're not necessarily growing or doing all that well. But I think that he certainly, as governor in 2016, if he runs, and I assume he's still going to try, you know, at least he'll have a case to make for himself. You know, my point is, somebody says, oh, well, you don't want to be with people who have attracted moneyed interests and so on. You know, with the financial juggernaut that's out there, I don't care what candidate you are, Joe Blow from Arkansas or New York or wherever, Republican, Democrat, you're not going to run without some kind of big money behind you, and you're not going to get on the national stage otherwise. It is a curse.
Right.
You know, it would be nice for us to be able to reform. But, you know, my point in writing The Dangerous Allure of the Shiny New Toy was not to say this person is bad, this person is good, Hillary Clinton good, somebody else bad. It's about the fact that we need a metric by which we can judge what someone brings to the table. And only when you go beyond spin and beyond the grandma, whatever kind of crap they're hoisting at you every day, or Bridgegate or whatever, you have to really listen to what the person's ideas are, regardless of the ideology, and say, what have they gotten done in
right.
respect of what they're offering you, and say, well, what does that mean? What kind of leadership is that? And does that person have the muscle and the understanding of domestic and foreign policy to lead us going forward?
And that's what you say, that, you know, there should be a test in securing a presidential candidate, threefold: effective policy prescriptions, a roadmap for carrying them out, and a proven record of accomplishment. Well, you know, you take a look at the test for 2016, and a lot of roads seem to be leading to Hillary Clinton, Jeb Bush, 2016. But me, I'm done with the dynasty thing, and that might not be fair.
But that
might not be fair to her, and it might not be fair to Jeb Bush, because I think Jeb Bush is the smartest and most politically astute of all the Bushes, 41 and 43, and Jeb Bush to be whatever number he might be. But I think I reflect in what I hear from the audience a lot of we're done with that. We've been there. We've done that. That's not forward. That's backward. That's not progress. That's just going to rehash things from the past. It's going to rehash Bill and Hillary of then, and it's going to rehash George W. and George H.W. Bush, and a lot of people are over that whole political dynasty thing.
Well, I understand that, but, you know, in terms of the Bill and Hillary thing, it really is unfair to Hillary. She's a Rodham. She's not a Clinton. She married a Clinton, and to say that she stands in lockstep with him and she's only his mouthpiece is deeply disrespectful to her and disrespectful to women altogether just because she happened to have married somebody. So I would take issue with that position. I understand what you're saying, that people don't want to look in the past, but isn't it ironic that the people who might best lead in that particular family are going to be the ones who are condemned because somebody else
yes.
did something somebody else doesn't like?
Right, and I do think that that might be one of the bad things that happens, that because of where we're at today and our overall disdain for politicians today, that people like Jeb Bush and Hillary Clinton aren't going to get a shot because of what other people have done or said in the past that affects their present and their future. And that might be an unfortunate consequence of where we're at today politically, but it's where we're at today politically. And a lot of people, unfortunately, as you point out in your piece, are really interested in that shiny new toy, but some great tales of caution in there in being attracted to it. Thank you, Anita. I appreciate the time on the program. And check out her piece, The Dangerous Allure of the Shiny New Toy. You can read it at epictimes.com. You can comment on the article there. And don't forget her her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, amazon.com. That book, folks, 16 weeks, number one position, Amazon Women in Politics list. Thank you, Anita. Always
You're
appreciate
the best, it. Jerry. Thank you so much.
We'll do it again soon. Stick with us. Wrap it up when we get back.
The Jerry Doyle Show.